Unusual cold weather in Brazil sends coffee prices soaring. Coffee prices surge as freezing temperatures destroy Brazil's crop. Coffee prices jump to 6-year high as Brazilian frost threatens crop. These headlines and more have peppered the news feed of coffee traders and professionals across the world. The frost event, on the heels of a period of low moisture, saw the international coffee price top out at 215.2 U.S. cents per pound on July 26th. There has been a huge amount of coverage about the events unfolding in Brazil. But what does this mean for the coffee producer, roaster, and industry in other parts of the world? On today's episode, we want to step outside of Brazil and talk a bit more about what these market movements mean for other regions of the world. I had an opportunity to talk with several individuals working with producers across the globe to better understand the current situation and conversations happening on the ground. Join me today as we dive into this topic. As the damage to Brazil's coffee crop continues to be evaluated, speculated, and estimated, the financial markets continue to respond. Brazil is the world's largest producer of coffee, so when weather events and supply chain disruption impact Brazil, global coffee prices follow. And while yes, this directly impacts the prices and trade of commercial coffee, specialty coffee is also impacted as producers evaluate the opportunities in front of them. But how do we begin to understand the impact of these market movements for producers across the world? Let's take a step back and establish a few important considerations in this discussion. Before we start, though, I think it's important to note that today's discussion centers around the current state and operation of the coffee supply chain and how coffee is traded. In recent years, there's been a lot of work and discussion around various models, improvements, and changes to this system. Here at the Center, we think these discussions are important and vital to improving our industry. But we also believe there are actions and steps we can take now within the current model to ensure a sustainable and equitable supply chain. Our discussions around the topic today will be based in that spirit. For a significant portion of producers outside of Brazil, they typically either sell, forward contract, or commit their coffee on outright basis. Okay, this episode is going to throw out some technical terms, and I want to make sure we are all on the same page. When committing to purchase coffee at a future date, there are two common scenarios, outright and differential. Outright basis is a term used to describe the situation where coffee is traded at an agreed-upon price, for example, $2.50 per pound. But the transaction will occur at a future date. This means as long as the terms of the contract, such as sample approval or other requirements, are fulfilled, the coffee will trade at the contracted price regardless of where the market might be. Differential basis is when the agreed-upon price is a plus or minus off of the coffee futures market. For example, I might sign a contract to buy 320 bags of a particular grade of coffee at a plus 45 U.S. cents per pound for delivery in 6 months. This means wherever the market might be come that time, the price is calculated based on the current futures market price. For the sake of our time today, I'm not going to dive into all the specifics, but rather paint a broad overview. I look forward to providing a lot more details through our courses at the Center. I'd like to take this opportunity to encourage you to head over to thecenter.coffee/courses and check out upcoming and available ones. As I said previously, a vast majority of coffee producers outside of Brazil sell their coffee on outright basis. Ultimately, this allows a producer to know what their general revenue potential is for the coffee. Sometimes these commitments can also come with pre-finance, depending on the situation. The forward selling of coffee can be as short as 1 week and as long as 3 years, but generally you find it to be anywhere from 3 to 6 months. It's important to note here that when we use the term producer, this can represent many different forms. It could be a farmer group, such as a formal or informal co-op, or even a local coffee trader or exporter. typically your smallholder farmer who has their own coffee trees and either sells fresh fruit to local washing stations or home processes their coffee and sells parchment coffee to dry mills will not forward sell their coffee. Prices are negotiated between buyer and seller and are impacted by where coffee financial markets sit. But why are they linked to these coffee financial or futures markets? If we jump across to the other side of the supply chain and look at the roaster, your average roaster is planning and estimating their buying anywhere from 3 to maybe up to 18 months, depending on their operations. When they are looking to lock in future volume, they contract this coffee with an exporter, importer, trader, or even producer, usually on a differential price or flat price that is based on the market for that specific day. Though even at a flat price, they will hedge their risk based on the current market price. Hedging. This is a term you hear a lot in coffee trading. And to be honest, this topic alone could stretch across multiple episodes of this podcast. But let me try and provide a little bit of information for you. Hedging is a risk management tool that is used by coffee traders, which allow them to provide assurance to roasters as to the availability of the coffee they will need in the future, as well as allow them to make commitments and purchase coffee from producers. Hedging involves the buying and selling of contracts on the coffee futures markets balanced against the physical contracts they have with roasters and producers. Again, this is a massively complex topic, but the key to know here is that hedging mechanisms, when used equitably, are tools companies use to protect all actors in the supply chain. Okay, back to roasters and the impact of the Brazil frost. As we said before, small specialty roasters, as well as large multinational ones, will contract their future needs on outright or differential prices. Therefore, the importer, exporter, trader, or even producer that stands at the center of this chain is holding the price contract and or commitments to the roaster on one hand and the price contract and or commitments to the farmer in the other. If both of these contracts are differential based, then market swings are absorbed and balanced. However, when the sale to roasters is differential-based and purchase from producers is outright, this is when market swings can create significant challenges for all actors involved. So let's look at a few of these scenarios and discuss some of the complexities. Gloria is a producer in Colombia. She has a coffee farm and wet mill that she manages and produces roughly 25 metric tons of coffee each year. Her clients consist of both specialty and commercial buyers, as she produces a range of qualities. She has to hire harvesters to come to her farm, and she relies on loans from a bank backed by contract commitments from buyers. These are important because she needs cash to pay harvesters on a daily basis throughout the harvest season, as well as occasionally farmers in the area who will sell her fresh harvested coffee fruit. Her contracts for her specialty coffee as well as commercial products are outright basis. This means they are agreed upon prices, and she prefers this way as it allows her to know what potential revenue she has coming in and what she can pay harvesters. It allows her to control her costs. The last few years have been good, as the price she has received has been a nice profit and above her production costs. When a market event like what we have seen in Brazil occurs, there are several things that happen which have different implications depending on how far along the harvest Gloria is. If Gloria has dried coffee ready to sell, then a market spike could cause Gloria to think about defaulting on the previous contract so that she can sell to a different buyer at a higher price. Ooh, well, why wouldn't the previous buyer just increase their price? Really, they can't because they have already sold this coffee to a roaster who committed at a different price. And although it was differential-based, they hedged their position at a level that reflected the price before the jump up. Therefore, though they make money on the movement of the market up for the physical coffee, they lose on the future sale, balancing out the total transaction. Again, hedging is a risk management activity and not a profit-driving money-making exercise. going back to Gloria. She has based all her expenses on the previously agreed upon price, and so her costs have not increased as the market has gone up. But honestly, who can blame her for looking to take advantage of a higher market and make higher profits? One of the main considerations, though, for Gloria is that if she defaults on this contract, it very well could have implications for future sales to coffee buyers. Many companies have policies that once a supplier defaults, they can't do business with them. And what about that specialty buyer whose price looked really nice, but after the market jumped 50 cents, the extra work to produce that coffee doesn't seem quite justified anymore? Okay, let's look at a different instance. Let's say Gloria still has fruit on the tree. During this time of year, she would be looking to lock in contracts for the coming harvest so she could make her plans and projections accordingly. In an inflated market due to weather events like we are seeing now, people are hesitant to pre-commit and contracting coffee as the uncertainty of market movements make it challenging. Therefore, Gloria is in a really tough position, not knowing what price she might receive for her coffee and having limitations on the type of collateral she can provide to financial institutions for securing finance. To take Gloria's situation even further, let's say over the last 3 years she's been expanding and local farmers have been selling her more and more coffee fruit. They don't have a contract on pricing, but the relationship is good, and since farmers are pleased with the pricing, there's no need for formal contracting. Of the 25 metric tons she sells per year, really only about 75% of that comes from her own farm. But the relationships she has with area farmers are good, and so she has no problem forward contracting the 25% of her total volume that comes from area farmers to traders. Gloria takes these contracts to the bank, secures the finance, and waits for those farmers to sell their fruit. The price Gloria can pay is based on her cost of production and the value of the contract she has with traders. But when the market spikes, farmers are not as inclined to sell at a lower price, even though that price is still above their cost of production, which no one blames them. The farmers shop around for better pricing and might sell to a different wet mill at a higher price. This leaves Gloria in an extremely difficult position, as she must either dip into her savings or stretch the business very thin to meet that higher market price, or the alternative is defaulting on the contract she has on the books already. Okay, though the scenario above is fictitious, it is reflective of the very real challenges facing producers right now in Colombia. Of course, there's no way to consolidate the complexities to just one example, but you can begin to see how challenging navigating the current market situation can be. Not to mention the reality that Colombia is coming out of strikes and other challenges which contribute to the current situation. This is where a strong relationship with producers for those working at origin is essential. The relationship should be built on open, clear communication, and strengthened through risk management policies that support producers through times of market fluctuations and help them navigate these challenging times. What about other regions of the world? Let's jump over to East Africa and see what impacts the frost in Brazil is causing. For a country like Tanzania, Arabica coffee is traded through the government auction system. And outside of selling parchment coffee to private companies, which is a very small amount, there are not many options for producers to sell their coffee when markets make movements like the current one. In fact, when prices spiked because of the weather in Brazil, the government auction was closed and would not reopen for another few weeks. This means for the Arabica producers in the country, they have to wait until the auction opens to see if higher prices are going to be offered for their coffees. Robusta, on the other hand, is different. This does not trade through the auction system, but is largely traded through cooperatives. Many co-ops would be forward contracting their crop and now are looking at a higher market, wondering if they should default and sell to buyers willing to pay higher prices, and who can blame them? Though their costs have not increased, they have a chance to make more money. It's understandable the challenging position they are in, as they also represent the producers in their co-op and want to honor those positions. However, defaulting on contracts, like in other parts of the world, can create relational challenges. So what can be done? if there is an opportunity for these co-ops to make higher profit based on current market conditions, it makes sense for them to take advantage of that. But what happens when the market responds, which anyone in coffee can tell you how cyclical the market can be, and falls back down? A longer-term focused solution would be to take this opportunity to negotiate new contracts for forward booking at the current levels, allowing buyers to hedge that position in a higher market, and follow through on delivery of the coffee already committed to. More often than not, when looking at these two scenarios, the average profit will be similar, with the added benefit of keeping relationships solid. There are many, many more scenarios we could discuss and articulate. The reality is, in all of these, it is important that you are working with a trader or you yourself are in constant communication with producers on the ground to navigate these difficult times. A crucial job of a trader and exporter is to help producers navigate these risks. It's extremely risky for a producer to pre-sell or pre-commit 100% of their production. A better strategy would be to look at a break-even point and pre-sell only that percentage of their crop to allow greater flexibility in the market. As a trader, exporter, or company working with producers, you should be asking these types of questions and helping to support producers as they navigate these waters. I'm curious to know what your experience has been over the last several weeks as the events in Brazil have unfolded. What conversations are you having with your importer, trader, or producers to help navigate these challenges? Drop me a note, send me an email, and share with me your thoughts. This topic of coffee trading and understanding the complexities of the coffee supply chain is something we here at the Center will continue diving into and sharing information about. Make sure and sign up for an account at thecenter.coffee so you can be notified when new courses become available. That's a wrap for today. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep learning.